evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper here with you tonight, this Thursday, September 6th. Hard to believe it, folks. I'm coming to you from Washington, D.C., the headquarters of American Free Press. And, of course, those of you who are American Free Press readers are reminded that this week the editorial staff of the paper took a vacation, a much-needed vacation, I might add. And so there will be no American Free Press going to press today. However, the paper will be back in full swing next week, so you will be getting a paper. Those of you who, for whatever reason, are not familiar with American Free Press, I always urge you to check it out on the Internet. That's the Internet website, folks. It's not the entire newspaper. Only selections from the newspaper. But check it out on the Internet at AmericanFreePress.net. Well, folks, I like to be vindicated. I like it when my predictions come true because it just kind of, everybody likes to be vindicated. And guess what, folks? Last night on this program, I predicted that Daryl Bradford Smith was going to drop a gigantic bombshell on his longtime close personal associate, Christopher Boleyn. And in fact, yesterday, Smith did drop a bombshell on one of his webcasts. And I have to say, I guess he was probably recording it just about the time that I was here doing this broadcast. And I have to say, folks, although Daryl Bradford Smith is a troublemaker, Daryl Bradford Smith is a... There's a lot of things that can be negative that can be said about Daryl Bradford Smith, not to mention that he's a virtual twin brother. I would say not of Joe Pesci, although there's a strong resemblance there. I think he looks an awful lot like Rafi Eitan, dirty Rafi Eitan, the longtime Israeli Mossad figure. Kind of looks like a Mossad thug. But I have to say this much. I'm going on the record as saying that for the first time in a long time, I actually believe something that Daryl Bradford Smith has to say about somebody. And that was his very bizarre account. Not bizarre on the part of Daryl, but his account of the bizarre behavior of Christopher Boleyn during the time that Mr. Boleyn visited Bradford Smith's home in France. I really have to suggest that you listen to that broadcast by Daryl. It sounds like one of the most sincere broadcasts I've heard from him. He takes a pot shot at me in the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. He says I work for the Southern Poverty Law Center and that I'm a Zionist agent, but, of course, nobody really believes that simply because it's not true. But in any case, the revelations about the behavior, the very bizarre behavior by Christopher Boleyn, as recounted by Daryl, ring very much true. In fact, I can tell you, and I've held back on this, a lot of things I've held back on in reporting about Christopher Boleyn, frankly, and I've made that notation many times here in the air, but I can tell you that after Mr. Boleyn and his wife visited one of my colleagues from American Free Press at their home, the colleague's wife said, after the Boleyns left, "I don't know what it is," she said to her husband, my colleague, she said, "but I don't like that guy. I don't want him ever in my home again. He gives me the creeps." It's very interesting because this is not, again, the first time that this was said about Christopher Boleyn. So there is a dark side to Christopher Boleyn that was displayed by Christopher. And now even his longtime partner, Daryl Bradford Smith, is coming to the fore. And as you listen to Daryl, it's not one of his typical rants attacking everybody and everything. He's just very...
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Had a little bit of technical problems there and miscued by the clock here at home, but I was cut off in the course of an thoroughly unimportant, I suppose, mid-sentence back there. I was just basically recommending, I hate to recommend anyone listen to Daryl Bradford Smith other than for entertainment purposes, but I have to say that I sensed a very serious and carefully crafted statement there by Daryl. He, of course, thinks that now claims that Christopher Boleyn has gone to the other side and is now working for the Mossad. Well, if that's the case, then Christopher Boleyn should come back to American Free Press, since, of course, Daryl says that American Free Press is controlled by the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Mossad. Of course, I'm being facetious, folks. Christopher Boleyn could never be welcomed back to American Free Press because of his treacherous behavior, because of his repeated lies, because of numerous stories that he handed to us, obviously dictated to him in some respect by Eric Hufschmidt, stories that just had no foundation in reality. And unfortunately, we can't sort them all out. We just have to move on. But Christopher Boleyn is a real troublemaker, and he was in perfect company with Daryl Bradford Smith and Eric Hufschmidt. Although, it's very sad because Christopher has driven a wedge between various former friends and supporters of American Free Press and American Free Press because they buy Christopher's very slick, carefully packaged routine of being the good family man, being the good patriot, the poor wronged boy. Well, enough of that gang. Let's move to another gang here. I don't pay too much attention to sports, folks. And maybe as a fan of horse racing, maybe I'm being hypocritical here, but I have heard about Michael Vick, the Atlanta Falcons guy, who pleaded guilty to federal dogfighting charges. And, you know, I don't like the idea of dog fighting. Probably in some respects as bad as horse racing in different ways. I don't know. I can't really comment on that. But I just learned today something about which was revealed in the Vic trial. According to the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, Ingrid Newkirk, in that trial, Vic's co-defendants testified that Vic was present when 8 dogs were hanged. He watched as they struggled to free themselves from the nooses, and when 3 didn't die from slow suffocation, they were drowned. Well, I hope Dr. Andrew Mathis is listening, because I know he monitors everything I say and tries to keep an eye out as to whether I'm advocating violence. No, I'm not advocating violence against Michael Vick, but let me just say this much, folks. If I had ever had the opportunity to lead a lynch mob, I would love to lead a lynch mob to Michael Vick's home and then take him out and hang him. I would love to hang him and watch him to struggle to free himself from the noose. And when he didn't die from slow suffocation, I would drown him. I would like to do that to Michael Vick. I will never have the opportunity to do it, and probably even if I had the opportunity, I wouldn't do it. But I'd just like to express that feeling for the record. Speaking of PETA, a bunch of Orthodox rabbis are mad at PETA because PETA has been criticizing them for some of the butchery that they use in kosher slaughter methods, and they say that PETA doesn't take, that the rabbis don't take PETA seriously. Well, these rabbis better take it seriously that a lot of good people around the world don't like the way the Jewish religion practices cruelty to animals. You know, speaking of that topic, of course, we never talk about the Jewish religion on this program, folks. You know, I am candid, folks. I believe that the Jewish religion, being based on the Talmud, is what Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam correctly described as a gutter religion. Although I'm not real religious myself, I was raised in what one would roughly describe as a traditional Christian home. I wouldn't even call it a traditional Christian home, folks, because we weren't churchgoers. Nobody in the family was particularly religious. But needless to say, you know, I kind of got that instilled in my brain that Christianity was a good thing. So whenever I open up the Talmud and see the horrendous things that the Talmud says about Jesus Christ, as documented in the new book, Jesus in the Talmud, published by Princeton University Press, I'm, needless to say, offended, and I'm offended on behalf of all these Christians out there, devout Christians, genuine Christians, people who without hesitation would say, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm offended on their behalf by the garbage that appears in the Talmud. And, of course, if you want to talk about garbage and slanders and lies and just pure hate, turn to the Talmud. But because I hate that gutter religion and what it teaches, that doesn't mean that I want to stop people from being able to believe in the Talmud. Now, you know, I was thinking here, folks, this is interesting. We need to consider this in the context of the subject of anti-Semitism. You know, some of my favorite plays have been from the pens of Jewish dramatists. George S. Kaufman, Mosshart, Joseph Mankiewicz, Anthony Schaefer. I enjoy the raucous comedy of people like Joan Rivers and Shecky Green, Rodney Dangerfield, even Don Rickles, ladies and gentlemen. All Jews. I admire their talents. Many Jewish actors and actresses, I've enjoyed their work over the years. Jewish producers have admired their skill in bringing to the screen drama and technical brilliance. You know, yes, absolutely. And I admire them, despite the fact that their religion happens to teach some of these vile, rotten, filthy, stinking things about Christianity and about non-Jews. If I met Joan Rivers and Shecky Green or Don Rickles, I'm sure I would have a wonderful time in their company. I would have no problems with them, dealing with them as human beings. But if the subject of the Talmud came up, I would say, Joan, I think it's a piece of garbage, frankly. But then again, I'd say, Joan, you think Christianity's a piece of garbage, too, because that's you know, what you are taught. Whether Joan Rivers actually feels that way about the Talmud or about Christianity, I don't know. But the point is this, folks, that I believe in freedom of religion, and I believe in freedom of speech. I don't believe that we should try to take the rights of our Jewish friends and neighbors away to practice their religion, no matter how vile it is, any more than I believe we should attack the Muslims because, as many, many people do in this country, mostly because of misinformation and disinformation, just as I don't believe we should pounce down on the Muslims. Now, when Jewish religious practices cross the line, for example, Jewish ritual murder, which has been documented throughout history, obviously, that's a crime. When children are taken out and used for ritual practices and murdered, which they have been many, 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 many times, a new book published in Italy by a Jewish scholar who works out of Israel, an Italian Jewish scholar, has documented Jewish ritual murder. That's wrong, ladies and gentlemen. So those who practice that must be punished as criminals. That's criminal activity, ladies and gentlemen, when you murder somebody. And, of course, there are Jewish people and Jewish organizations that deny that ritual murder exists, but then we have the documentation that it does. Now, what inspired all this, ladies and gentlemen, is that everybody's talking about Mitt Romney and the fact that he's a Mormon. And they're raising questions, is a Mormon ready for the White House? And shouldn't we take a close look at Mitt Romney's religion? And here, the Washington Times writes a story that's saying that observers of Mitt Romney's presidential campaign are waiting for, quote-unquote, the speech, the one that's going to settle once and for all his intent that his Mormon beliefs would not interfere with his leading the country. Can you imagine them ever having raised these questions about Joe Lieberman when he was running for vice president? No, they didn't raise these questions about Joe Lieberman because they don't raise questions about Judaism and about the intents of Jewish people and how their religion affects the way they would govern the country. And, of course, why this is relevant, ladies and gentlemen, why it brings it full circle here, is the fact that someone like Joe Lieberman allows his Jewish religion to guide his philosophy of government, particularly in the realm of the conduct of U.S. foreign policy. You see, this is the problem. Don Rickles is not governing public policy. Joan Rivers is not governing public policy. She may even be ruining our culture with some of her humor, much of which, frankly, I find entertaining. But Joan Rivers doesn't have her hand on a nuclear button. Now, Joan Rivers happens to be a fanatic Zionist. I've read comments by her, which I will read probably on the air sometime if I can ever dig that book up. But, I mean, Joan Rivers is a fanatic Zionist, but I can still admire her comedy. But Joe Lieberman is a fanatic Zionist, and his associates are fanatic Zionists in government. They have their hands on the nuclear button, folks. What are we going to do about it?
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at NorthernVoiceBookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Michael Collins Piper here. Actually, there have been several tracks I've been working on here tonight, inspired by a variety of little blurbs I saw in the paper today, or in the papers over the last several days. And in talking about this quandary we have in whether or not one is anti-Semitic or not, and of course, the Jews in this country freely throw that term around, and so many people are scared about it, they won't even discuss the subject, but it's the subject of the hour because Jews and Jewish power are at the very center of the conduct of American affairs today, particularly in the realm of foreign policy. And of course, it's very, very interesting. Doctors Mearsheimer and Walt have put out their book, The Israel Lobby, and it's a very interesting book. It's a very well-written book. It's hardly any different in many respects than anything that I've written or Mark Glenn has written in American Free Press or any other number of other writers, although it's rather amusing to see Drs. Mearsheimer and Walt trip over themselves to rush to assure that, well, they're not anti-Semitic, even though, of course, the Anti-Defamation League says that the what they have written is anti-Semitic in tone, even if they aren't anti-Semites. And then, of course, they rush to assure that they don't believe that the power of the Israeli lobby is a conspiracy. It just happens to be. Well, everybody knows that. It doesn't take a conspiracy to have a lobby because lobbies of all types exist. But Mearsheimer and Walt want to have their cake and eat it too. So So in some respects, I can almost understand why the Anti-Defamation League would try to play this semantic linguistic game vis-a-vis Mearsheimer and Walt, because from a mirror image, Mearsheimer and Walt are doing precisely the same thing. But coming back to this aspect of the Jewish lobby and Jewish manipulation of U.S. foreign policy, we saw a good example of someone who is not afraid to address this, albeit indirectly, and that, of course, was Congressman Ron Paul. Now, I didn't see the debate last night, but Ron Paul, according to the Washington Post, said the decision to go to war in Iraq was made by a handful of neoconservatives who, he argued, hijacked U.S. foreign policy. Quoting Ron Paul, they say that the congressman said they're responsible, not the American people. Now, Mr. Huckabee, Reverend Huckabee of Arkansas, who's running as your traditional conservative in the race, as your Christian right voice, he says, if we made a mistake, we made it as a single country, the United States, blah, 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 blah. In other words, he's saying the Iraq War was a good thing, and no, the Iraq War was not the product of the hijacking of American policy. Well, Congressman Ron Paul was right. Oh, I shouldn't say that, because then they'll say, well, self-admitted anti-Semite Michael Collins Piper agrees with Paul that the neoconservatives were responsible, not the American people. Well, the point can be argued, ladies and gentlemen, that the American people are responsible, because we as a nation, in the terms of Mr. Huckabee, Reverend Huckabee, we as a nation have allowed this group of Jewish gangsters, religious fanatics, whose brains are driven by the garbage of the Talmud and fanatical Jewish supremacism, as David Duke calls it in his very good book by that title, probably the best book on the topic available today. It is Jewish supremacism. It is Jewish fanaticism. And that is what guides Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz and Douglas Faith and this whole sleazy, very ugly, physically ugly crowd, I might add. I don't like to make comments about people's appearances, but these are really ugly people if you look at them. Ugly in the classic sense of the word. A bunch of ugly, hardline, fanatic, Talmudist Jews who did, in fact, hijack U.S. foreign policy. And, of course, the only one in the Republican race who is saying it, although obviously not in quite those terms, and I don't expect him to say it that way. He may not even feel that way, but he certainly has expressed it correctly that they have hijacked U.S. foreign policy. And then we have this punk, Rudy Giuliani. You know, I said I'm alleged to have said that I would like to drown his wife in the East River for her mistreatment of animals. Well, yes, I would like to drown Mrs. Giuliani in the East River for her mistreatment of animals. But in any case, I understand during the debate, Mr. Giuliani has a habit of sitting back and sneering at Ron Paul. I'm sure that goes over well. I'm sure that goes over well with Giuliani's followers. But, you know, the funny thing is, I think this guy, Fred Thompson, who I have no brief for, I've always enjoyed him as an actor, and I always thought he had a very presidential appearance, but nothing more than that. I have a feeling that Fred Thompson is going to walk right into this presidential race and maybe make things a little tough for this punk Giuliani, whose sole claim to fame, as far as I'm concerned, in his career as a prosecutor, is having looked the other way while a bunch of Russian Jewish gangsters came in and took over the rackets in New York City. What a punk. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to the break. When we come back, some more commentary. We'll eventually get around to the phones.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back here. Some ramblings from yours truly, Michael Collins Piper, inspired by a variety of things I've seen in the press, but I think they all integrate, so to speak. Maybe I shouldn't use that word. A lot of people don't like integration, but I think the subjects integrate here. Talking about this aspect of who's an anti-Semite and who's not, you know, the other night, on the program, I read excerpts to you from an essay from back in 1979 by one Rabbi Emanuel Rachman, really highly regarded Orthodox Jewish rabbi, major figure, as I recall, in Israel. He may well be alive today, but he called for the assassination of former Texas Governor John Connally when Connally was running for president of the United States. He must be destroyed, at least politically, as soon as possible, said Rabbi Rachman. He must be destroyed as soon as possible. He qualified it, at least politically. But that qualifier, ladies and gentlemen, means that this rabbi, steeped in the traditions of the Talmud, said that John Connally must be destroyed. Now, obviously, folks, if he qualifies it by saying at least politically, he implies then, implicitly, that the next level is the death of John Connally. Now, there are those out there, I'm sure, who when they heard this, and, you know, these are how people will be panty wastes. People will be panty wastes, say, would say, oh, well, that's only one rabbi. Well, no, you know, the thing is, in the writings of highly regarded rabbis, you've found this same level of violence, this virulent hatred, and they frankly cast it in religious terms, just as Rabbi Rachman did. So again, this is what I'm saying here. You know, we've often heard from the feminists that pornography involving women inspires violence against women. Now, that may well be true. I'm not here to argue for or against the feminist point of view, nor is it relevant here. But what I'm saying is that theme that pornography induces violence or can lead to violence against women, that theme can similarly be applied here, that when we find rabbis writing publicly in Jewish newspapers, such as Jewish Week of November 18, 1979, citing the story of the Book of Esther and saying how, and comparing John Connolly to Haman and saying that he must be destroyed, yes, we do find religious fanaticism being drawn into public life in a very violent way. Now, frankly, the same thing, I think, can be said about some Christian pastors. Some of their rhetoric could potentially lead to violence against people that they preach against. So yes, there's a certain amount of truth to this, ladies and gentlemen, but we cannot excuse Jews just because they're Jews. However, we do in our society today give Jews a pass, politically, religiously, culturally. We question the religion of someone like Mitt Romney, and there are many people out there I know right now saying, yes, we must question his religion because Mormonism is not Christianity. Well, I'm not here to argue whether Mormonism is or isn't Christianity. I know a lot of nice Mormons. One of my best friends was a Mormon. I studied with some Mormon missionaries many years ago. I didn't become a Mormon, but I certainly became very familiar with it. But nonetheless, we find public questioning of Mitt Romney's religion. But as I say, we give Jews a pass, and yet Jews are among the most powerful people on the face of the planet, certainly here in the United States, and certainly with their hands on the levers of power, particularly the nuclear button. Now, as I say, Rabbi Rachman was not the only eminent and respected Jewish figure to take this kind of religious hatred and apply it to the perceived enemies of the Jewish people. Back in 1946 in the American Hebrew magazine, Rabbi Leon Spitz described the Jewish holiday of Purim as being a glamorous formula. It's the most glamorous of Jewish holidays. And he said it has a glamorous glamorous Purim formula to deal with anti-Semites. Now, again, I know there's a lot of you out there saying, oh, well, I'm not an anti-Semite. I'm just a critic of Israel. I have Jewish friends, but I don't like what Israel does. Well, the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, that the organized Jewish community in America, the Jewish religious leadership, almost to a man and a woman, will say that anti-Semitism does include criticism of Israel. And if you are criticizing Israel, you are setting the stage for anti-Semites to benefit and to ride your back and to follow through with their preaching of hatred. Well, this is what Rabbi Spitz says that we need to, he said in 1946, we need to exterminate the anti-Semitic termites as our ancestors did 2,500 years ago. Exterminate termites, ladies and gentlemen, anti-Semitic termites. The Purim festival, he says, offers a formula to combat anti-Semitism. He quotes the Book of Esther from the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, this man is appealing to the Bible, the Book of Esther, a pillar of the Old Testament. He's quoting the Old Testament to say that the Purim story is applicable even in modern times. there were 75,000 Persians slaughtered on Purim. And that's what the Jewish religion celebrates today, ladies and gentlemen. So is it any wonder that a religion that celebrates a mass murder of 75,000 people should be the driving force behind the fanatic philosophy of those neoconservatives that have hijacked U.S. foreign policy? That's the one thing we do know about these neoconservatives, that they are very, very strongly identifying with their Jewish religion. And, of course, with the State of Israel, folks. Now, this is what Rabbi Spitz concluded in his item written back in 1946 in the American Hebrew, a very highly regarded Jewish community publication. Rabbi Spitz, a Jewish religious leader, ladies and gentlemen, he says, the anti-Semite has no morality and he has no conscience. He understands but one language and he must be dealt with on his own level. The Purim Jews stood up for their lives. American Jews, too, must come to grips with our contemporary anti-Semites. We must fill our jails with anti-Semitic gangsters. We must fill our insane asylums with anti-Semitic lunatics. We must combat every alien Jew hater. We must harass and prosecute our Jew baiters to the extreme limits of the law. We must humble and shame our anti-Semitic hoodlums to such an extent that none will wish to dare to become fellow travelers. Well, I tell you what, folks, I'd like to turn the tables on Rabbi Spitz, this distinguished theologian, this distinguished clergyman. I will say this. The Zionists and the supporters of Zionism have no morality and they have no conscience. We've seen that, folks, obviously, by their conduct of U.S. foreign policy. They must be dealt with on their own level. Americans stood up for their lives in the first American Revolution, folks, their lives and liberties. Well, Americans today must come to grips with our contemporary Zionists. We must fill our jails with Zionist gangsters. We must fill our insane asylums with Zionist lunatics. We must combat every alien hater of Christians and Gentiles alike. We must harass and prosecute our Zionists to the extreme limits of the laws. We must humble and shame our Zionist hoodlums to such an extent that none will wish to dare to become fellow travelers. What's good for the goose, I think they say, ladies and gentlemen, is good for the gander. So, the Jewish people were advised by one of their most distinguished rabbis to exterminate anti-Semitic termites, to fill the insane asylums with people who were called anti-Semites, to fill the jails with people who were called anti-Semites. Maybe we need to do the same. Maybe we need to take a page out of the writing of these distinguished rabbis. Maybe we need to tell our fellow non-Jews that if this is what these rabbis are teaching people openly in writing, ladies and gentlemen, in Jewish newspapers, they're writing these things. Well, if they're writing these things openly, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, what are they saying behind the scenes inside the synagogues? What are they saying during their religious services? What are they whispering to one another? If they put this kind of violence and hatred in writing and very clearly base it upon their religion, which is so evident in this, ladies and gentlemen, they're saying that their religion justifies violence against others. What are they saying privately? Think about that, folks. Wouldn't you really like to hear a conversation between Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz? And wouldn't you like to go to one of these powerful synagogues here in the Washington, D.C. area where the congregations constitute some of the wealthiest, most affluent people really, in some respects, in the face of the planet. We have quite a few Jewish billionaires here in the Washington, D.C. area, and we have quite a few synagogues where powerful people in government worship the Jewish God, which, of course, as we know, is not the same God that is worshipped by Christians. A little dirty little secret that a lot of people don't know about, but which more informed folks do know about. Wouldn't you love to be in one of those synagogues and hear what is really being taught? I've told the story, folks, here on this network, how my old Jewish roommate in college, who is now one of the leading Jewish members of the United States Congress, Steve Israel, told me about his promotion when he was working on the staff of a member of Congress, then Congressman Richard Ottinger. Mr. Israel told me that he had been promoted to legislative assistant for foreign affairs. But later, I overheard him in a telephone conversation with his mother, and he told her that the position was legislative assistant for Jewish affairs. Well, as I remarked earlier on this program, not earlier tonight, but in a previous program where I discussed that odd little incident, odd but very revealing little incident, I wondered aloud here as to whether or not members of Congress have legislative assistance for Christian affairs. No, they don't. That was the real title. That was the secret title, the inside title, kind of the unspoken but spoken among the tribe title of that position that Mr. Israel held on the staff of Congressman Ottinger, legislative assistant for Jewish affairs. Now, if those kind of dirty little secrets are maintained within congressional offices, and we know certainly there are a lot of dirty little secrets in congressional offices, and I guess bathrooms too, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's safe to say that there are a lot of other dirty little secrets that are held inside the synagogues. Maybe it's no wonder that they're sometimes referred to as the synagogues of Satan. Well, we're talking about rabbis here tonight, folks. And again, I told you there was a theme here. This all does tie together, ties together like a hangman's noose, or the straps that you would put around the arms of a war criminal being taken to a gas chamber. Well, yes, it all does tie together. There was an obituary in the paper on Tuesday. Judah Nadich is dead at 95. He was the military chaplain who advised General Dwight D. Eisenhower on Jewish affairs at the end of World War II. Now, Eisenhower, you know, many people think he was Jewish because his college yearbook at West Point, I believe it was, made reference. They referred to him as Ike Eisenhower, the terrible Swedish Jew. Well, folks, that's the only evidence I've ever seen that Dwight Eisenhower was Jewish, and I don't believe that is evidence that he was Jewish. I have never seen anything anywhere else which convinces me that he was Jewish. Quite the contrary, in fact, an American black historian, actually two American black historians, have written in little noted publications that it's very, very likely Dwight Eisenhower had African blood on his mother's side, people from Virginia. But be that as it may, I don't think Eisenhower was Jewish, but he certainly had the advice of Rabbi Judah Nadich, who just died. And it's very, very interesting, of course, when we look at the actions that Dwight Eisenhower carried out in Europe at the end of World War II. There's a new book out called Ike, an American Hero, a glowing portrait of Eisenhower's fairness and pragmatism. Eisenhower was a gangster, ladies and gentlemen. My late colleague Joseph P. Camp, who used to write for the Spotlight, did a whole piece on Eisenhower back in the 1950s. My colleague Willis Cardo of American Free Press in the Spotlight back at the 1957 or 1956 Republican Convention put out a whole flyer, thousands and thousands of copies he personally distributed at the Republican Convention. It was entitled Convention News, and it had the headline, Ike Renominated in Spite of Red Record. Well, Ike's record went back to before he was elected president. His his hellish record went back to the end of World War II when he was being advised by this Rabbi Judah Nottich, who has died and gone to hell. And you know what, folks? Eisenhower's probably there, too. And when I come back, I'll explain why. We are going to the break, folks. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back here. We only have a couple of minutes here, and I'm going to wrap it all up. We're not going to be able to get to the phones because I've had a lot to say here this evening, and I'm hardly finished. Talking about Dwight Eisenhower and the death of his rabbi, so to speak, Rabbi Judah Nottich, who was his advisor on... He's offering advice on how to cope with hundreds of thousands of displaced persons. Well, that was mostly Jews, ladies and gentlemen, who had been liberated, very much alive and ungassed from the concentration camps. But there were also millions of Germans and other peoples, German nationals and people of German descent from other countries, who were deported back behind the Iron Curtain, what became the Iron Curtain, put under Soviet control. This is what Dwight Eisenhower did. There were concentration camps for millions of Germans, former German soldiers and fighters in the German army, fighters from all over the world, fighters of all races, creeds, and colors, who were put in the concentration camps by this thug, Dwight Eisenhower, who, although not Jewish himself, was in fact carrying out the Jewish agenda advised by this hellish Judah Natich, this rabbi who was his advisor, almost certainly acting on the advice of the bigger level Pharisees. The interesting thing is, ladies and gentlemen, that this is all written about. James Bach has written about it in his famous book, Other Losses, which has been shrieked about by the Jews and by defenders of thugs like Dwight Eisenhower. But you know, Giles McDonough, British historian, has written a book, After the Reich, The Brutal History of the Allied Occupation. 618 pages, folks. It is very revealing about what happened under the occupation forces led by this thug, this Talmud-inspired thug, Dwight Eisenhower, who we call him a hero for our times in this new biography by Michael Korda, a Jewish writer out of the British family, Korda. But the reality of Dwight Eisenhower was that he was a thug carrying out what Rabbi Spitz, of course, not long afterward referred to as the glamorous Purim formula to exterminate anti-Semitic termites. That was Dwight Eisenhower, ladies and gentlemen, this great hero for our time. So you see, we can find people who are not necessarily Jewish who will do the bidding of those who do follow the teachings of the Talmud. And, of course, that certainly applies to the thug that we have in the White House today, ladies and gentlemen, and a lot of those thugs running for president. Maybe we should adopt the Purim formula for ourselves if we are to save our nation, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good evening.
It's true.